This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Janie Becker is with us this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And if you have a lawn or garden question, Janie has the answer for you. 893-1450 is the number. 893-1450. Last week, as you recall, Mitchell Mote and Janie were with us. And last week was Janie's first day on the radio. And Mitchell said, now, we're going to be working with her all through this period so that she will be comfortable on the radio, and we're going to stay with her.
It's a nice story, isn't it?
It sounds good. And he said, now, next week it's going to be the same. Anthony's going to be there, and so to walk her along. Janie is here by herself today.
You learn by doing, right? So you just throw me in there.
Well, it's good to have you with us
today.
Nice
to be here, Clark.
As you look back over the past week and think about some of the phone calls that you've received there at the Ag Center. Is there any one thing that seems to have popped up more often than others? Questions from people in the listening area.
Well, this time of year, it's always common for folks to ask about planting, planting outside, which is, it's still a good time to do. Probably not in this kind of mucky weather. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be out there, for one, and two, your soils aren't going to cooperate very, very well with you when it's this saturated. But a lot of folks are doing some of their indoor gardening. Now is a good time to do it this weekend.
Indoor.
Right. Your house plants, taking care of those amaryllis bulbs you got over Christmas. Taking care of, maybe you've got some poinsettias or some philodendrons, some different things that you bring in and out of the house over the year. And wondering how to fertilize those plants, how to take care of them, even when they're inside.
Now, is there do you do that differently inside than what you would outside? Do you try to find a window that gets a lot of sun? Are those little windows that sort of pop out a little bit that look like mini greenhouses, do those work well?
Those can be very handy depending on the type of plant. You know, a lot of those houseplants are tropicals. Mm-hmm. They're from way down south, and a lot of them are from a kind of a shaded rainforest area. So they can handle some shade, many of them. Things like your cactuses and your succulents. Maybe people have calanchos. You get those a lot around the holidays or Christmas cactuses.
Oh, those, okay. I just never had heard them call that. Calanchos?
Well, those are two different types of succulent.
Oh, okay.
But those can handle a lot of sun, and they'll really benefit from some good southern exposure in the winter. One of the troubles that plants have in the winter when you bring them in, mm-hmm, is that in addition to not being outside, the sunlight's just a lot less in the winter. So they start to get a little spindly and can need some extra care in the winter.
Now, so, I've often thought that it would be nice to grow tomatoes all year around. And if you have one of those little greenhouses or the window that acts as a greenhouse, can you actually grow tomatoes in that in the winter months?
Ideally, you could. You'd need more of an enclosure in your house. Most of the humidity in our houses is too low. You'd end up with troubles like spider mites.
So humidity, it needs to be, 70-80% to work?
They'll thrive in that. Yeah. And we don't keep the hot temperatures enough to, in the intense sunlight enough to fruit and do all the things that you'd want to keep a tomato for.
Mm-hmm. So if you could somehow enclose that area that has sunlight, the little window or a closet that has a big glass area, maybe you've made a special enclosure to keep the humidity up and keep the temperature down, you could really have some fun.
You could. I would, if you're interested in growing vegetables to eat indoors, I would start with trying to grow lettuces, things that aren't producing a fruit. Fruits, vegetative growth and fruiting and flowering, they're all different cycles of the plant, and they need different things in order to make that happen. So it's going to be a little bit more of a tricky science to get that to happen indoors.
I guess it was a couple of years ago, the I don't know if it was the USDA or some federal group was helping encourage farmers and really intense gardeners to do some hydroponics. Mm-hmm. Did that ever take off? This wasn't this summer, but the previous year.
Well, there are several folks in the area who started doing some indoor, small scale, you know, kind of a Rubbermaid container. You can grow a lot of salad greens and herbs in a small space with a little bit of supplemental light, like a fluorescent bulb.
Ah,
you need to read up on it some, and you know, you need to have some aeration in your water and the proper nutrient mix, but it's very doable.
Now, I still hear a lot of people talking about these upside-down tomatoes and everything. Is that better than the normal way? And would that be better in the winter time if you're trying to grow them in a greenhouse type atmosphere?
I generally stay away from that, and I don't advise that so much. We've had such good luck over the years with right side up growing. I think we ought to stick with it.
That's right.
It's a little bit of a gravitational challenge to do that and keep it well watered and well with proper nutrition. So,
by the way, I bet there's somebody listening right now who has tried your hand at growing some of these unique vegetables during the winter months. Have you tried it? Give us a call. I'd like to hear your success stories. 893-1450, or if you need a shoulder to cry on, we'll listen to also 893-1450. And did you try the little pop-out glass windows, or did you really go gung-ho into it and create a greenhouse? What did you do? 893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. I just wanted to ask the proper care of some people call it a Thanksgiving Christmas cactus, and some people call it a Christmas. I don't know if they're in the same or if they're different. But I just wanted to know if you're supposed to cut them back, put them in the dark, like people says, blah, blah, blah. And I'll hang up and listen to the response. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. What about that?
Well, they're all the same type of cactus, just different varieties of the same types. They call them Easter cactuses, Thanksgiving cactuses, Christmas cactuses, just depending on when they typically have their best bloom. Most of those cactuses will bloom strongly once a year based on mainly light conditions. So I would, they don't need any extraordinary care. A lot of folks kind of let them dry out too much. They're a cactus that needs a little bit more water than what you think of out in the desert. So I water them about like I do some of my other broadleafed or non-cactus houseplants. They need a little bit of fertilizer. What I recommend in the winter is that folks, you know, if people bring their plants in generally from about October, put them out maybe the end of April. I feed about three times during that period. I use a light fertilizer, about a teaspoon of an all-purpose water-soluble fertilizer like Miracle-Gro, mm-hmm. per gallon. And I've never deprived them of light. I don't think that you're going to give them any benefit, because it's not like they go completely dormant. They can live throughout the year.
All righty. 893-1450 is our phone number. If you have any questions, give us a call. 893-1450. And I guess another one of those plants that people often get are the ones with the red leaves on them, poinsettias.
Poinsettias.
Yeah. And I always remember one year we went to an event at Opryland Hotel, and they had poinsettias there, and they were like trees. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, you know, well, sure, those grow like trees in their native areas of South America.
Yeah, they're huge.
And were they telling me the truth? Were those really poinsettias?
Oh, absolutely. In Mexico and Central America, they can get to be large size. I think they're more in the shrub category, but they can get many, many feet tall. I hesitate to say, but I've seen some 10, 12 feet at least.
Yeah, that's what these were.
Right.
I mean, these were big.
At the MTSU greenhouse, actually, talk about local poinsettia trees, they used to keep some very large specimens year-round that, of course, they would only bloom when the day length got less, but they were some substantial poinsettias.
And do they have red leaves, or do you have to do the same way with the tree size, put them in darkness so long?
Right. They need a pretty strict darkness schedule to flesh out the way that we expect them to.
Otherwise, they're just big green leaves.
Pretty well.
I would imagine
they're attractive. Yeah. The leaf shape is still pretty. They just don't flush that pretty pink or spotted or red color that you expect.
If one lived long enough inside your house, because that's probably, otherwise you're going to be putting it in and out with the seasons, would it grow that large?
If it was happy in your house, it takes a lot of light. They need a lot of light. A lot of our houses, again, we have the humidity problem. Mm-hmm. I've kept poinsettias for a few years, but I'm never diligent enough to give them that strict light regimen that they need for several months before Christmas or before the holiday season.
There's one plant, while we're talking about indoor plants, and obviously with winter time here, that's the time you think about indoor plants. Used to be a very popular thing to grow African violets, mm-hmm. and people would have the little fluorescent desk lamps that they would put over the African violets, and they would do well. I don't see that too much anymore. Have they gone out of favor? Is that an age group that just is not around growing flowers anymore? What
I don't
those?
See them as much. My grandmother lived in Fayetteville. She had a collection of 60 or so different violets, and she was very very devoted to her violet care. I don't see as many enthusiasts as that. I think they kind of hit a real peak in the 70s and maybe early 80s. But there are still a lot of folks still developing new varieties with frillier flowers and stripes and spots and all sorts of things. They're quite easy houseplant to grow, and I recommend them for someone who's looking to start that.
Can you still buy African violets?
Absolutely. You can buy them at home garden centers. Lowe's, Home Depot, they carry them often.
Okay. So you just go in, and are they fairly large? Or what is the best? Because I know in talking with some of the other folks at the Ag Center about trees, I used to always try to get the larger trees because I figured it would be more, toward becoming full size. And I've since learned that the trees that are maybe a foot, 2 feet tall, in that range, are better. They don't have some of the problems that the big trees have. So what size plant like African violet when you go?
Well, house plants are a little bit different than a tree that you're going to, or a tree or shrub that you're going to plant out in your yard, because you're not going to be drastically changing its immediate environment. It's going to stay in the same pot or a similar size pot with a similar type growing medium. You're not going to put something from a really nice nursery mix and throw it into clay like we would around here for an outdoor plant. So whatever size you you're up for, whatever size your pocketbook says you can buy, it's probably a good deal for you. Some people have different spots in their house that they want to fill. Maybe they need a large indoor ficus, a tree for a corner in their house in their entryway or something. If that's what if they need a large one and they can take care of it, I'd go for it.
Now, so you have different needs in your house. And again, this is one of those things. There's so many people coming here from different areas, and things may do well here that didn't do well where the people are coming from, and vice versa. Can you go by the Ag Center and say, I'm wanting to have this feeling in my house? I need a large plant. I need a medium plant in the living room. I need this. I have a planter that divides the playroom versus the kitchen right in the middle there. Can you help tell people what would work best in those planted areas?
Well, that's not a typical question that we get, but I think that we'd be happy to give you some advice on that. Most of the plants that you see in a garden center around here, the house plants, with a little bit of research into the care that they like as far as water and nutrients and sunlight, you should be able to grow them indoors. That's one of the beauties. If you move from Minnesota, you can probably grow the same houseplants you did in Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. But inside, but
correct.
Not outside.
Inside, right. That's part of, we generally like about the same indoor climate no matter where we are.
That sounds good. Let's go back to the phones. 893-1450 is our phone number. And good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Good, thank you. Yes, I missed the part about the poinsettias because I got one at Christmas and I don't know how to take care of it. Could she go over the light schedule again? And I'll hang up and let her do that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
If you want to keep it year-round and have it to bloom again, I should back up and say it's a lot of trouble. It's doable, but for the cost of the poinsettias that you get in the store around Christmas time and the effort that you're going to go to, unless it's just something that it's a hobby and you take a lot of joy from it, I would recommend buying a new one every year. I would have to look at the exact light schedule. It's something around, they need 14 hours of, well, I hesitate to say, but it's a strict, they need a certain amount of complete darkness. In fact, a lot of poinsettia growers that normally grow in greenhouses, they actually put shade cloth over the areas where their poinsettias are growing because they need to keep them with less light even than is naturally provided, and then they need brighter light at certain times than is naturally provided. So you really have to manipulate that a lot. That's where you hear people sticking plants in the closet. That would be poinsettias.
Now you're not going to keep it red all year round, probably.
No, you're not. You're not. It's only going to stay red for a certain period in the winter months. But if you call down to the Extension Center, I'd be glad to look the details up for you.
And during the summer months, and I guess spring too, you can actually put those outside, and they do very well.
They do. They do. They turn a pretty. The colored bracts fall off. Those aren't actually even the flowers. Those are actually bracts of their leaves. They turn those colors. But they'll stay a nice rich green if you take good care of them, and they'll thrive outdoors.
And if you leave them outdoors during the winter, put a little mulch around them, cut them down.
They'll still be dead.
So they'll still be dead.
they don't tolerate frost at all. So okay. You want to bring them in as soon as it gets cold.
893-1450. I like the way you said, they'll still be dead. We'll be back. Jenny Becker's with us today from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. If you have a question, our number is 893-1450, 893-1450. We'll be right back. We're going to check on the traffic and weather.
As you.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro. Score big this week at Ford of Murfreesboro. We're keeping the drive alive by putting our biggest and best players on the front line. Go big with the mighty 2012 F-250 Super Duty Crew Cab 4x4. $12,000 off MSRP. Score big this week at Ford of Murfreesboro. Your go-to dealer for Ford trucks and the number one Ford dealer in Middle Tennessee. 1550 Broad Street or fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Discount on 2012 F-250 Super Duty Crew Cab 4x4. Stock number E823583. Number one volume ranking based on November 2011 sales report. Retail and fleet cars and trucks combined. Offer expires February 3rd.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Alignments, brakes, air conditioner, and emissions repair. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407 on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro.
Good morning once again. We've still got a lot of congestion on I-24 westbound as you make your way into the downtown Nashville area. It starts up about Old Hickory Boulevard and it ends about the 440 junction. Still lots of congestion there in that area. Also, we're seeing traffic easing a bit around the I-24 at 231, also I-24 at 96 exits. Heads Up Hair Salon has 10 Nashville area locations. They've been sensibly priced for over 30 years. Call or check out headsuphaircuttingsalon.com to schedule your next visit. With traffic, I'm Randy O'Brien for WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We have rain showers likely in the forecast, mixing with some snow as well. Temperatures gradually falling, cloudy skies, and breezy winds continuing. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Fellhuber. currently 46.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Good Neighbor Talk focuses totally on the issues that impact the heart of Tennessee.
Oh, yeah?
This is your radio station, WGNS Murfreesboro.
Will you please come with me?
Yeah, come with me. Come on in here. 893-1450 is our phone number. 893-1450. Still 47 degrees, and they're forecasting some snow flurries by this afternoon. But that's okay. We're going to be inside working with our plants and not worrying about what's happening outside. 893-1450. You know, that's one thing that's really good about finding something that will occupy your time. And on these days when winter is here, people get cabin fever, the grayness outside and everything. And if you get some activities inside the house, it'll sort of divert your attention, and you'll have, guarantee, you'll have a much better summer and winter, and all the different seasons are just much more enjoyable, especially winter, when you have some activities to do. By the way, our phone number is 893-1450. Jenny Becker is with us today from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And, you know, if you don't like the weather today, what do they say? Stick around, it'll be different tomorrow. Jenny, you're from Tennessee, aren't you?
I am.
So you know how it is.
Sure enough.
Maybe 60 degrees in a day or two.
We think every winter. Has it been like this before? Do you remember it being this roller coaster? Well, actually, every year that I can think of.
In fact, but it is milder, I think, than it used to be.
I think it has been.
893-1450, if you have any questions, if you have any comments. And we're still looking for some of you who have tried the, you know, really big indoor, doesn't have to be big as size goes, but indoor gardening where you try a little hydroponics maybe, or maybe you have one of the greenhouse type windows, the jump out type windows. Where do you get those? Are they pretty expensive, that you attach to the side of your house?
You know, I've coveted some for a long time. Those large ones that you can actually walk in from the outdoors, you can get those.
I haven't seen them that big.
Well, yeah, there are a few in town that actually, it's like adding a small room to the side of your house.
You're talking about dollars, then.
it can be substantial, but those little window box ones, I can't tell you exactly where to get them, but you could shop around and find them pretty easily.
Basically, just replace the window with that, I guess.
Right, it's just an additional window with some support and sort of like a large shelf.
Or if you left the old window in, I mean, that's a good way to control the humidity, I guess. I mean, you don't have your air conditioner or heating unit taking out the humidity.
Well, you also wouldn't have your heating system keeping that little box warm. Ah. So it's going to be a real heat loss sticking out there in the cold without any insulation around it.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie Becker. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great, and I appreciate your service that you're offering. I have a quick question. I put a new yard in, built a house, put a new yard in last summer. It just barely got in with all of the heat and lack of rain that we had. But I wanted to overseed it this coming year and this coming growing season, and I wanted to know when I should overseed the yard. I've got fescue on it now, and I wanted to continue with the fescue, and wanted to know if I should put some fertilizer in during this rainy season. So just trying to reestablish my yard, and wanted your advice, and I'll hang up and listen if you don't mind.
Thanks for calling. Have a great day. What about that, putting in fescue and fertilizing, what have you?
The prime times for taking care of your lawn are going to be in early to mid-fall, late September, October, probably max out in about the first few weeks of November. You get the most mild but still cool weather during those times. And then those seeds will still germinate over the winter on nice sunny days and when the ground warms up a good bit, but you're not going to get the same kind of germination rates you will when things are more consistently mild as they are in the fall or they are in the spring. So I would tend to recommend that you wait till maybe early mid-March to get going on that again to overseed. You're gonna waste less seed that way.
And that's not that far away, really.
It's not at all. It'll be here before you know it.
You know, if he's wanting to do something right now, and it sounds like he's needing something to do, how about doing a check of the soil? So, because going out and putting in fertilizer, that may be needed. It may not be.
That's an excellent point. Now is a really good time to do that. You can stop by the Extension Center, or you can search for UT soil testing and get the instructions for collecting soil. Bring us your soil sample. A basic test will run you $7. And now is a good time to get them in because there's a huge rush early spring as everyone's getting their gardens and their fields going, and it can take a little bit of time to get it through. But right now, you should be able to get it turned around in a week or two.
One of the great things about the soil test, it not only tells you what is lacking right now, but it gives you a printout exactly what you should do each season.
Right.
And you can't go, well, I started to say you can't go wrong with that. You can, yeah, anybody can go
wrong.
Well,
sure, if you don't follow the instructions right, you might go wrong. But we generally recommend those for lawns, for non-commercial purposes, every 3 to 5 years.
And you probably need to do a different one for your garden area, too.
I would, generally because your soils are different there. If you've had a garden in one spot for several years, you've probably amended that soil and made it a very different environment than your fescue or Bermuda lawn. It's going to be a very different soil type.
So even if it started out as being the same, it's from the same place, the same earth that's all around it, over a few years, whatever you plant in there changes the soil.
Right, depending on what you grow. Certain different plants have different requirements, and they pull more nutrients out. A tomato is going to pull very different nutrients from the soil than a fescue lawn is.
So it drains that soil of whatever it's pulling out.
Exactly.
And I guess that's why farmers rotate crops. They plant one thing one season and something else the next season, so that it sort of balances that out.
That's why, especially for row crop, for large-scale farmers, they do that. They do it for two reasons. They do it for what you just mentioned. You plant corn in a field for a couple of years, you're going to pull a lot of nitrogen and a lot of phosphorus out of the ground. So you're going to want to move over to somewhere else that you're not just flooding that one ground with fertilizers just to be able to keep growing corn there. Why not start over at a new pasture or a new field and put something that doesn't have all those heavy requirements where your corn once was? And also they rotate crops for disease. Mm-hmm. If you keep the same plant year after year in one spot, you're going to build up a lot of the disease organisms that those plants encounter.
That's interesting you're saying that, because we're getting a lot of calls from people who say, I've had tomatoes, I've tried different types, and the first few years I did great, they grew large, I had a good crop of tomatoes, and each year it's gotten worse, and I've gotten so many diseases the past year or so. They're creating their own problem, it sounds like, as we look at this, because you keep growing tomatoes in the exact same spot, and each year it will, I guess, get worse, unless you do something about it. And that's where the soil test comes in. Should you do something by adding chemical or something of that sort, or should you instead just grow your tomatoes another place if you can? And that's probably the problem. There aren't too many places in some yards. You have one area that can be a garden, and that's about it.
Well, it's based on the amount of space you've got. If you have a garden that's, say, 30 by 30 or smaller, you're probably not going to... Your disease pressure is going to be about the same anywhere in that area. Once, if you grow tomatoes in one corner of that, you might move them to the opposite corner and save yourself a little bit of pressure from diseases and problems. But that really starts to impact rotation in a garden sense is most effective when you're talking about a half acre or more. But there are a lot of gardens around here, a lot of serious folks that really get to planning. So it's a good idea to rotate your crops in those situations. In certain families, like people, a lot of folks don't know that potatoes and eggplants and tomatoes are all in the same family, and they have a lot of the same issues. So it's good, and peppers as well. So it's good.
Mention those again. What were those that were in the same family?
Tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, and potatoes.
I never would have guessed.
Most people wouldn't.
They don't even look alike.
If you glance at a lot of the vegetative growth doesn't, but if you look at the flowers of each of them, you'll notice that they're all pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
So some things like that, you might want to rotate all the way from one spot year after year.
Okay.
But I would want to note, though, that our basic soil test is mainly primarily for fertilizer needs, and it wouldn't test your disease issues.
Now, your average yard in the city limits of Murfreesboro, I guess, would be about a half acre. There are not many 1 acre, 2 acre, 3 acre yards. So obviously, if your whole yard's a half acre, you're not going to have a half acre garden. But I've seen people try to grow some tomatoes. I've seen them try to, have a few corn plants. Can you grow enough corn to actually enjoy it? Is the yield enough off of one plant?
No.
See, I've never grown corn, so I don't know.
For corn, you've got to have cross-pollination from other plants. So mm-hmm. when people just grow a strip or two, a row or two of corn, it's all wind-pollinated. The pollen is very small, and the flowers are very small as well. So it depends on wind. And they really need to plant corn in blocks of maybe, I'd say, at least 5 or 6 rows by more than that long. Because you need a block to be able to get that pollen really mixed around. And just a row, a lot of it's not even going to hit other cornflowers.
So for the average-sized garden, you'd have to devote all of your attention to corn.
I don't plant corn unless I have, maybe a 20 by 20 spot or maybe a 15 by 15 spot. And it's you'll probably get fair germination with that. But definitely try to make it in more of a square shape than a long, skinny rectangular.
Is the tomato plant the most popular garden plant?
I would say so. That's the one people really, really take a lot of pride in, and try to get the first fruit. And I would say that's a pretty unequivocal favorite garden plant.
It seems like a few years ago they were trying to come up with new types of tomatoes. Really odd looking ones. They had some that were on trees, tomato trees. Seems like they had some that were almost a square shape, or they had some different colored tomatoes, blue, purple, things of that sort. Mm-hmm. And then that seemed to have changed a bit. And I don't hear that much anymore. People didn't want the odd tomatoes?
Well, a lot of those are actually heirloom varieties. And
oh, really?
A lot of those are older varieties than what you see in the grocery store. The ones that we see commercially are likely hybridized, and they're bred for disease resistance, longevity, so they ship well. And those are more of the cutting edge tomatoes. Those the purples you see, and the stripes, and the oranges and yellows, and greens and white tomatoes. A lot of those are really old varieties.
So when you say heirloom, that means no scientist has made some changes in those plants.
Well, it means they've been bred. They've been selected for by humans, but there haven't been any. They should come true from seed. That's the difference in a hybrid versus a non-hybrid. Mm-hmm. Is a hybrid tomato, the seeds you harvest from a hybrid tomato will not produce plants that will produce that same sort of tomato.
And what would the plant be called that has not had any changes? It's strictly what Mother Nature put together.
Open pollinated.
Open. You don't hear about that. I've never heard people talk about it.
Seed geeks are the ones who think about this stuff a lot. But
are those better than
I wouldn't
some of the
say
others?
They're better. No, there's a lot of benefits to having hybrid varieties because they can be so disease resistant. Your heirloom tomatoes, a lot of people get really excited about them because of their uniqueness and their flavor. I have to say, a lot of them is really fantastic. But they are prone to a lot of the diseases that plague tomatoes because they haven't had that disease resistance bred in.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to work a little harder to get tomatoes on those. Their yields may not be as high. You're going to have different issues with them. But if it's worth it to you to have that different quality of tomato, then more power to you.
For the real tomato connoisseur who takes pride in planting a unique tomato plant and having a successful garden, is this the time of the year to start looking through the internet, through different catalogs, to select that special?
Absolutely, absolutely. January and February, you really need to be looking through catalogs and ordering the seeds you want. You can get so much more variety if you order seeds and grow your own transplants than if you buy plants from a garden center.
So you order the seeds now, you get them in what, a few weeks? Is that pretty?
I'd start them the end of February, early March, mm-hmm. and that's early still. You're not. They take a while to mature, but a lot of folks, I hear them start their tomatoes and, you know, first of the year or mid-January, you're going to have some leggy tomatoes that you're going to have a hard time keeping alive and healthy long enough to transplant outdoors after frost.
When you get the seeds in, they come in the mail. When they come in, what do you do with them at that point? Because they're seeds. I mean, you can't
right.
go out and stick them
they're,
in the yard.
They're, for instance, a dry tomato seed. It's going to be a dry, little, tiny, white, white to yellowish, round seed. They will germinate a lot better if they've been rehydrated. They've been completely dried out, so they didn't mold or any problems while they were being stored. So take those seeds. I take a coffee filter mm-hmm. and get it damp and put the number of seeds I want to start. And remember, most people don't need 20 tomato plants. So you might put a few extra out there in case they don't all germinate or in case some are stronger than others.
Do they let you order small amounts?
Well, most of the time you order them by weight, and so it's an eighth
huge
of an ounce
number.
or something like that. So you're probably going to get a reasonable number. Maybe it depends on what company you're ordering from, but you're not going to get a half pound of tomato seeds.
Cost
prohibitive. But then I take that coffee filter and get it very wet, and I place those seeds in the center of the coffee filter and kind of fold it up. And set it aside for a day or two. The seeds will start to get that kind of gooey mucilaginous mm-hmm. Coating that you find on the tomato. It'll just rehydrate that natural coating that protects the seed. And then I would then plant it in a brand new growing medium and indoors. And I would give it a little bit of bottom heat if you can.
Now, what do you put? Just regular dirt? Really good.
Well, potting soil. There's special
soil.
Mixes
okay.
that are just for seeding. You can use from the store potting soil for planting, although I would recommend not using anything that already has fertilizer added.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of your mixes already have some sort of fertilizer added to them.
And once you see the plants coming out of there, 2-3 inches, it's ready to...
Well, no, you probably, for tomatoes, you want them to be a fairly good size. They're going to take a couple months to get to transplant size.
Which is going to get you up to the right time.
Right.
Okay. And the right time, the really right time.
For planting
tomatoes.
Our frost date is historically, we say tax time and frost date's the same time, so April 15th. I wait till the 1st of May to get mine outdoors because we often have some late frost that nip everything, or if you're prepared to take care of them out in the garden, cover them up with plastic jugs or do what needs to be done to protect them from frost, you can put them out earlier. But We often have frost past that April 15th date, so I would wait till the 1st of May.
We're talking with Janie Becker this morning from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. We're talking about your lawns and gardens. We're thinking spring. Just think about that for a while. When snow is in the forecast, let's think spring. If everybody thinks spring hard enough, maybe it'll be here before you know it. We'll be right back. Stay with us. If you have any questions for lawns and gardens, call us at 893-1450. If you are trying some greenhouse techniques, even on a small level, call us, 893-1450. If you're on the line, hold on. You're coming up next.
There will be no white flag above my
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. WGNS, Murfreesboro, FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
I had a very serious accident. I had Family Staffing come to me, and they have reached out. They have touched me in every way that they possibly could touch my heart.
Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best.
It's an opportunity for all of us to enjoy the aging process.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. 143 Uptown Square, 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
WeatherEye.
We have rain showers likely in the forecast, mixing with some snow as well. Temperatures gradually falling, cloudy skies, and breezy winds continuing. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Felluber. Currently 46.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. Good Neighbor Talk on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. We're talking lawns and gardens today. 893-1450 is our phone number. 893-1450. Janie Becker is with us from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Janie. How are you today?
Hey, good. It's a good show.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. Some comments on some of the things you're talking about. A lady called in about Christmas and Easter cactus.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they're all in the same group, but my way of thinking was that Christmas cactus are usually pink and Easter's are usually white. And she talked about what to do on controlling their growth. If you pinch, all of them only grow flowers on new leaves. So okay. After it flowers, if you pinch off the tip, one or two mm-hmm. from the tip, it'll then branch out and put out two stems, and you'll get flowers on those. And then the plant keeps getting bigger and bigger as you do that. If you want it to keep fairly, you know, a certain size, then you just let it grow by itself one after another. It doesn't get as big and bushy, but it after a few years, it will get bigger, and then you may want to pinch it all back. But another thing was, you talked about corn. I have grown corn with just like three or maybe at the most four plants in a row, and maybe even less than that, maybe only two. The only way I could get it to get corn out of it is if you have the time to do it like this. As soon as it tassels and the spike at the top has all the pollen buds, and the corn has the silk coming out, then I used to break off the top and go around and tap it on all the tassels.
You're devoted.
That would put the sperm onto the female parts. So I got corn like that. It's just a intensive way of growing it.
But you could say you grew it. It's my corn. That's a lot of satisfaction.
It was regular corn. I got corn on every one of the, you know, on every one of the corn ears that were there. It's just that you you have to go around and break off the tassels and tap it on all the silk that comes out.
Doing nature's job, we'll still get the job done.
You were talking about tomatoes being leggy. If you take a tomato plant and just dig a trench and bury the plant lengthwise in the trench and leave the top stick out, it'll grow and it'll be great. It'll just be real strong plant because all along the stem, roots will grow out. And that's what you, or if you have a real deep plot of ground, I mean, with real rich soil, like a foot or so deep, yeah, then you can put the plant in upright. But if not, you just have to dig a trench and leave about 4 inches or so sticking out and then just bury it like that.
Well, thank you for your phone call.
Hey, one more thing.
Okay.
You're talking about growing things maybe that most people don't do. I grew habanero hot peppers in a pot.
Ooh.
And I wanted to try it. I grew two of them in a pot the first year, and they did have fruit, but it wasn't a lot of fruit, and the plants were not very high. And then I put them in the house over the winter. At that time, I lived in Pennsylvania, and I couldn't put them in a south window because I didn't have a south window anywhere. So I kept them in a eastern window, and they did poorly. They dropped the leaves and all this kind of stuff. But then when I took them out for that summer and started watering them and feeding them, they got so big and fat and round, I had just literally, I would imagine 100 or more plants, you know, peppers on, you know, on each plant. It was beautiful. But I let it go because I didn't want to put all the effort into it to take it back in and do it for the third year.
But you got the satisfaction knowing you could do it.
And
right?
he's a dedicated gardener.
right.
Thank you again for your call. We have one more caller, and we're going to try to squeeze them in before we run out of time. You're on WGNS. Good morning. How are you today?
Is that me?
That is you. Good morning.
All right. I was wanting to know about aerating my yard and fertilizing and maybe sprinkling a few seed on it. I was wondering when the best time to do that.
Okay, well, we'll find out. What about aerating and sprinkling a few seeds on it, doing stuff like that in the yard?
Again, I'd do that in March or so. Probably the middle of March would be a good time to do it. You want the aeration to be right before you seed and fertilize and all that. Not only because you've just aerated the soil, it's in prime condition, but also it helps when you poke all those little holes in the ground. It's a good spot for those seeds and fertilizer pellets to fall and not wash off and not get picked up by birds. So I do them all at once and wait till it warms up just a little bit in the early spring.
Jamie Becker, our guest today from the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service. You did great.
Thank you.
We are doing solo.
Thanks so much.
You have a super day. If you have any questions for Jamie, give her a call at the Rutherford County Agricultural Extension Service.